हरि ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मविर्विशावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 94. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5:30. Prahlad Maharaj replied, "Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress towards hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused, either by the instruction of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both." And so we first got us what is devotion, you know, about devotional service. And then now we're hearing about what gets in the way of devotional service. Right? 7531. Persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life, and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects, cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind men, guided by another blind man, miss the right path and fall into a ditch. Materially attached men, led by another material attached man, are bound by the ropes of fruit of labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. And then 7532. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined towards materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, in this way can one be freed from material contamination. So one can always get beyond, but it means we have to take shelter of the devotees. Right? When that happens, then the whole process will work. But if we don't take shelter of the devotees, then the process can't start, no matter how much we try or anything like that. That's the whole point. Because otherwise, that was the first doubt in Vedanta Sutra, was this, you know, we're already studying the Shastras, so why wouldn't we already know the conclusions? But then it's pointed out that no, unless you take shelter of the devotees, you can't know.
Superficial understanding.
Yes, it'll be a superficial understanding. So Prahlad Maharaj has already studied under very educated persons by the materialistic point of view. But you're not going to get probably any much better teachers than Shanda and Amarka in the universe. But they have no idea what is the actual purpose. So, okay, chapter 6, Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates, Pratigya. One should use the human form of life, or form of body, from the very beginning of life, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all engagements. Right? So that's the point, is that from the very beginning, one should start. So whenever we come in contact, that's the beginning. And from there, we should always then be engaged in Krishna service. Okay. And if we can arrange it for others who are, therefore, then for those who are younger, then they, from the beginning, they start the process because they haven't matured yet. So you have to give them the idea. Sometimes the point comes up, no, you have to let them make a choice. But if you've already trained them in the materialistic way or let them be exposed to that, then where's the choice? Right? The whole world's engaged in materialistic activities. They get it trained in Krishna consciousness. Now, if going out into the world they prefer the materialistic, it's never too late to start, just like it's never too late to start Krishna conscious. One could say, oh no, but they started earlier, this and that. You can't say that, because when you work within karma, doesn't matter when you start, no one will get more than they are supposed to get. It's that simple. Right? So this idea is, no, I could have gotten more if I had started sooner. But all it means is I could chew more stuff that's already been chewed. Right? Like that. You know, just be like, let's say we go down to the person who takes who does the sugar cane, right? And then you're looking at the scenario and you're kind of going, wow, what's going on here? And you see that everybody's sitting, the man puts the thing, twists the juice like that, and once he's taken the juice out, then the part that he throws away, the people are sitting around chewing on that. And once someone's chewed on it for a while, he hands it to the next one, they chew on it. But, you know, no? But that's material life. Yes.
Well, apparently when you chew on sugarcane, it doesn't just become tasteless, but it actually draws toxic things out of the body into the sugarcane pulp, and then you spit that out. So it's worse than nothing.
Oh, it's worse than nothing. I wasn't sure where we were going with this. You know? And then it does this and that. So actually, no, it's quite... No, okay. Yeah, yeah.
To chew someone else's chew.
Yeah, yeah. So it just gets better and better as it goes, right? You know. So that's the whole thing. Everybody's trying, and then but no one's getting. So that's the whole point is, why? Because that's not how the senses work. Right? The senses engage with the sense objects. There is a mechanics to it. But to get enjoyment from that, it's not by the mechanics of the sense and the sense object. Because the soul is beyond. It's just like the sense contacts the sense object. As soon as it stops the contact, there is no sensation. There is no feeling. There is nothing gained. It stops the moment is there. Right, but the mind is thinking that should be something more, right? But then so then if you add in the emotional aspect, then the emotion, you can stretch it a little farther. But then relationships change, time changes, you know, our body changes, you know, all these different things, and then that goes away. But the soul is eternal, so they're looking for happiness. So then if to satisfy the mind, one has to work on the emotional platform. Then what do you have to satisfy, get to get satisfaction on the platform of eternity? Right? You have to actually be in contact with eternity. Right? And as we see, is that you can be in contact with the Brahman and like that, but then you're not engaging the senses. Right? Paramatma, okay, there's some things you're doing the right thing. But it's when the emotions are involved, that means then it has to be personal in a relationship with the Lord and the devotees. Okay? So then that will actually get the satisfaction. So that's how the senses would work. Because you can say, no, this is working, but it's actually on the lowest level that actually people don't really get that much out of. Right? They get frustrated because it doesn't even address the subtle body, let alone the consciousness. So if we take the engagement of the senses up to the level of the consciousness, which is then, you know, as far as we get, because we don't have more than that, then that would be the platform on which it would work. Does this make sense? So it's just a natural understanding. It's not that it's we look at it, oh, we're restricting the senses and this and that. No, it's we're connecting it on that platform. So then to connect it on that platform, on that emotional aspect, then there has to be something in common between us as a living entity and the Lord as the supreme living entity. Right? Does that make sense? Just like the senses, we can engage them just for ourselves, but if we consider others in it, it gets better. Right? But it's still temporary, but better. So if we consider the Lord, that becomes the best.
You said it's impersonalist. You're in touch with the aspect of the Lord, the journey to knowledge.
Not so much knowledge, just eternity, because they don't actually know who they are because they don't exist. They use it here, but technically, according to philosophy, it's illusion to use the intelligence and follow a process. So I don't even know why they talk and write commentaries and make such a scene. You know, they just go in their bedroom, close the door, and just, you know, meditate on the wall or something. You know, keep their mouth shut.
The purpose is to establish themselves as supreme.
Yes, they want to establish themselves as supreme. So we can understand it's not actually about Brahman realization, it's about becoming the supreme. Right, because they don't seem to mind when they've, you know, elevated themselves in the impersonal social scene, so they're respected and people come up to them. They seem to be quite happy when people respect them. You know, they get a bit of a glow. You know, they're quite, you know, like that. Does that make sense? The human body is most rarely achieved. Although temporary, like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. Okay, so that's the point, is that you've got the human body, so therefore it's rarely achieved, but the uniqueness of it is that you can do devotional service. In other forms, you could be engaged by a human in devotional service, but we don't see that they're taking up devotional service. You know, it's not like, you know, you know, you get out the bag and all that, and open the top, pour it out into the bowl, you know, put it down on the ground and all that, and then the dog comes over, and then, you know, he sniffs it and looks at you and goes, "Is this offered?" You know, no. You know, so the whole thing is this human form of life, that's what's special, because you can perform devotional service, that can bring you to the perfectional platform. It says here, complete perfection. Because perfection means coming to the spiritual platform. Complete perfection means engaged in a relationship with the Lord. You understand? The word perfection always means coming to the liberated platform. So generally when it says, you know, perfection, one can perfect one's life, like that, it means getting to that platform. Depending on the context, it may mean only up to that point, or it may mean beyond into a relationship with the Lord. We're interested only in the relationship with the Lord, but the point is by following Naishkarmya, that will bring you to perfection. So perfection technically is this platform of bhava. Whether you're moving forward in it as a sadhana to get to prema, or whether you're just happy there being liberated. Right, that's the difference between mukti and brahma-bhuta. Brahma-bhuta means then you are following the process above sadhana, moving forward to prema. While mukti means you're just happy to be there, and so it's all cool, right? So, okay.
Brahmananda.
Yeah, brahmananda. So. Every human being has a maximum duration of life of 100 years, but half of those years are lost in sleep. In the age of childhood and boyhood, when one is playful, and in old age, which one is an invalid, unable to perform even material activities, one passes another 40 years wastefully. One whose mind and senses are uncontrolled becomes increasingly attached to family life because of insatiable lusty desires and very strong illusion. In such a madman's life, the remaining years are also wasted because even during those years, he cannot engage himself in devotional service. So basically what it's saying here is half of the life goes in sleep, right? And then of the other half, 40 years goes in playing around as an idiot kid and as an old person who can't do anything, right? So that leaves you 10 years. But because of all your material desires, then that also gets lost. So materialists don't really get much out of life. Right? They think they're getting something, but you know, if you think about it, if you really present it, you have 10 years to work with. They would probably freak out. You know, even if you say, okay, but the sleeping is half of that, it's okay, you've got 20 years. Whoopee. You know, out of 100, it's not a whole lot. Yes.
Their old people would tell them that, but they don't listen to the old people.
No. That's the whole point, is that enough opportunity is there to learn something, but people, due to illusion, don't learn anyway. So that's That's what Prahlad Maharaj is making the point. So the thing is that's why you should take it seriously, because otherwise the example is just regular life, people don't use it, right? Udaharana, okay. Then now the Upanaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan is the original Supersoul, the father of all living entities. Consequently, whether one be a child or an old man, the relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact. And therefore, there's no difficulty in pleasing the Lord. So since this is a natural position, the human life is naturally for devotional service, and the living entity can have naturally have a relationship with the Lord. Therefore, practice of devotional service is the natural thing to do. Right? The materialistic side is actually not the natural thing. Sometimes it's said, oh, I'm just being natural, I'm just being myself. It says, no, that's not actually. You know, you should just say, no, but I'm just being the modes of nature, you know. And then the next statement should be, you know, in the Gita it does say, don't disturb the minds of the ignorant. So I'm ignorant, so don't disturb me. You know, but due to false ego, people won't say this, so. Yes. But, yeah. Then the Nigamana. Therefore, my dear young friends, born of demons, please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers. Nothing is more unobtainable. Nothing is unobtainable for devotees who have satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, the original source of everything. 6624. So then it comes back to the point of just engage yourself. Now he gives the further as how to engage yourself. You know, that will connect to all the other points that are there. So without giving up the demoniac nature, it means the desire to enjoy, and then without enmity or duality, then you engage in devotional service, engage others in devotional service, and then this way you'll satisfy the Lord. If the Lord's satisfied, what can't be done? But if the Lord's not satisfied, then what will get done? Chapter 6 summarizes questions and answers. Prahlad Maharaj, the schoolmates asked Prahlad Maharaj question 710 of Srimad Bhagavatam, 7:6, 29-30. The sons of the demons replied, "Dear Prahlad, neither you nor we know any teacher or spiritual master other than Shunda and Amarka, the sons of Sukracharya. After all, we are children, and they are controllers. For you especially, who always remain within the palace, it is very difficult to associate with a great personality. Dear friend, most gentle one, would you kindly explain how it was possible for you to hear Narada? Kindly dispel our doubts in this regard." I remember his father was very careful to make sure Narad Muni never came around. Narad Muni would come to the court and do that, but he wouldn't go into the palace like that. He wasn't, because otherwise, as a saint, as a Brahmin, he could move wherever he likes. But he made sure, Hiranyakashipu made sure that he wasn't allowed to go that side. Prahlad Maharaj answers this question in the next chapter. The rhetorical questions uttered by Prahlad Maharaj in verses 9 to 13 and 25 do not come under this study. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the sixth chapter, Prahlad teaches the boys bhakti. Enlightened, they give up attachment to body and home. This chapter describes Prahlad Maharaj's instructions to his class friends. In speaking to his friends, who are all sons of demons, Prahlad Maharaj stressed that every living entity, especially in human society, must be interested in spiritual realization from the very beginning of life. When human beings are children, they should be taught that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the worshipable deity for everyone. One should not be very much interested in material enjoyment. Instead, one should be satisfied with whatever material profits are easily obtainable. And because the duration of one's life is very short, one should utilize every moment for spiritual advancement. Yes, so one should not be very much interested in material enjoyment. So one's engaged in the activities that are there in family life, because here you're talking about children and families and like this. But the point is being in that situation, it shouldn't be about the enjoyment. It should be about what's the proper interaction, what's the proper relationship. And why is that? Because that pleases the Lord. The Lord has given these social systems, but we do it to please the Lord. Right? So then what we can to directly offer to the Lord, we do. And then what's indirect, we see it that it's being done to please the Lord. Doesn't mean activities aren't there. It just means it's the consciousness that changes. So we can see if this is the point, then learning occupational knowledge is just simply how to maintain this, rather than the occupational knowledge has a life of its own. You know, like nowadays, you know, the career and all this, and you have to have a career and all this kind of stuff. You know, so it's not, how do you say, it misses out on this point of actually having a life. Right? In other words, career people don't have a life. So the Vedic system, everybody has a life, and then they have an occupation to maintain it. But you have to be trained in that. So if we're so busy training in the occupation that no one's trained in the lifestyle, then of what benefit will they have gotten? You know, the parents can definitely feel good that, yes, now my children can take care of themselves, and so I've done something good like that. You know, just like the mother lion, then she brings home food, and when the cubs are a little bit bigger, she brings the food home half dead, so they have to kill it themselves. You know, so then she can feel confident that in the future, then she's trained them, now they're good. But you know, if we continue the comparison, then that means we're only training them as animals. Right? You know, bigger, responsible, more mature animals, but not humans. Humans means what is the human lifestyle? Then you have an occupation that will support that. So,
everything is about prestige, social prestige. If you don't have a relationship with society,
No, it's impersonal. That's the whole fun of the modern speak, is that you make something that's impersonal seem like it's personal. Right? And those who are personal make that seem like it's impersonal. You know? And those who are focused on the occupation, they're in a higher status than those who are focused on relationships and the family and community. Right? In some sense. Yeah. So, you know, they have their few things. You're more intellectual, then you're higher than someone who's less intellectual. You know, there's just certain things that are there. You understand? Okay. One may wrongly think, in the beginning of our lives, let us enjoy material facilities, and in old age we may become Krishna conscious. Such materialistic thoughts are always useless because in old age one cannot be trained in the spiritual way of life. Therefore, from the very beginning of life, one should engage in devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, 7523. This is the duty of all living entities. Right? So in the beginning one thinks, the senses are strong, we can just enjoy them, but the senses are also strong, you're not distracted by so many things. Right? Things don't bother you so much. Like, let us say, in the middle of the day, then would we rather be outside or inside? And inside, under what situation?
AC.
With the AC on. But the kids don't mind being outside, running around, this and that. Like, that's the whole point. The senses, well, yeah, that's another thing. But point is the senses don't disturb them. So that's the whole point. But when you get older, everything disturbs you. You know, you go inside, it's too cold. You go outside, it's too hot. You turn on the AC, it's too cold. You turn it off, then it's too hot. You turn on the fan, it's too windy. It's just, there's no end to it, yes.
So in this logic then, that's the time to be more Krishna conscious in the old age, because you're so much disturbed.
But you're so disturbed you can't think of Krishna.
I'm just trying to find ways.
It says, if in the beginning you do, you're Krishna conscious and trained that way, then at the end of life you can also function in that simple way. Does that make sense? So, do you see your loophole? Yes, but you're trying to continue that, but if there is dealing with the sense of that, it's done in the middle. With the ideas that it's, you know, the early, then later it's shifting, but it's shifting back to what was the earliest. So the idea is, okay, earlier on we should be involved in taking care of material desires, but that's only after training. Because if you don't have proper training, one, you can't take care of material desires, and two, you can't live a renounced life. So without training, you can't enjoy or renounce. That's the problem. Yeah. Material education is infected by the three modes of material nature, but spiritual education, for which there is a great need in human society, is transcendental. Pallad-Maharaj disclosed the secret of how he had received instructions from Narad Muni. By accepting the lotus feet of Pallad-Maharaj, who is in the parampara succession, one will be able to understand the mode of spiritual life. And so he's also Brahma Sampradaya. He's one of our boys. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, there's probably more of our boys that are across the board accepted by all the Sampradayas. You know, it's like that.
Mercy.
Yeah, by Narad Muni's mercy. Yeah, because he preaches throughout the universe, so we have a head start.
And Vyasa's mercy also.
Yeah, Vyasa. Yeah. Also, it's interesting is we probably have the shortest line on this side, because it's Brahma, Narada, Vyas. Right? You know, so, and then from there to Madhva. So it comes down very quickly. Like, I think in the, I'm not sure what they're in now, but like, I think in the Nimbarka, they're like at 54, 56, you know, in the Parampara. Like that. So, they, you know, it started. It somehow or another comes into our society much. And how to say? Yeah.
More generations.
Yeah, there's more generations.
Yes. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his books, he says that if the opponent says that Vaishnava religion is a new religion, then he refers to Dhruva Maharaj and Pallad Maharaj. He says,
yes,
those are people, they practice.
Yes, so it's not.
This is the proof.
It's not new. Yes. Very good. In accepting this mode of activity, there will be no need for material qualifications. After Pallad Maharaj's class friends had listened to Pallad Maharaj, they inquired how it had become so learned and advanced. In this way, the chapter ends. Right. So there's no need for material qualifications, because if you have the spiritual qualifications, actually you can do it. The material is actually quite easy. Right? Because varna is to assist ashram. Therefore, if ashram is solid, therefore varna will be quite easy. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense.
Do you mean... If
you're doing full-time devotional service committed into that, then what you will understand from that, then if there is need of any occupational element, it will be easy to do. Because the point is the amount of skills needed is not that much. And nowadays they don't necessarily talk about it so much, because if you talk about it too much, it kind of blows the whole system. But people go to university, right? Spend 3 or 4 years, right? Get their degree. They go to the job, the place of work. They actually don't know anything that they can use there. So they, in 2 weeks, they teach them. So that's the whole point, is you only actually need 2 weeks. But there's an idea, is no, you've gone through it, you have the maturity, you can do it. But they're doing it by an artificial method. But if you do it through ashram, then that same 2 weeks, you would be much better than they would be in their 2 weeks. But basically, unless it's to be a doctor or something like that, then 2 weeks is enough to do any job practically on the planet. If you're sitting behind a computer pushing buttons, that's about all you need. You know, if it's something very technical, yes, then you need to know that area. But, you know, how many people are in that area? Right? So that's... Shlokanusharanam, summary of verses 1-16. The rarity and advantage of the human form of life. 17-30. Krishna bhakti is beyond dharma, karma, artha, and moksha. Verses 1-16. The rarity and advantage of the human form of life. In speaking to his friend, Prahlad Maharaj stressed that every living entity, especially in human society, must be interested in spiritual realization from the very beginning of life. Prahlad Maharaj said, "One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection." Srila Prabhupada comments, "The whole purpose of Vedic civilization and of reading the Vedas is to attain the perfect stage of devotional service in the human form of life. According to the Vedic system, therefore, from the very beginning of life, the Brahmacharya system is introduced so that from one's very childhood, from the age of 5 years, one can practice modifying one's human activities so as to engage perfectly in devotional service." Because here it's like it's starting from five. That means before five, then that's the time to be with the family all the time. Right? But in the modern scenario, they don't have the time for the kids there. Because they can only actually put in a little bit of time every day. They'll see him in the morning at breakfast, maybe, and see him in the evening a bit, dinner, and maybe after dinner a little bit. The older they are, the little bit more you see them, but the older they are, the less they want to see you. You know, so, like that. You know, so... So you're talking, you know, very few times in a day. You know, 2, 3, 4 hours like this. So, but they can only handle it in there, but when the child's at home can be there 24-7, and that's the time you're supposed to put in effort 24-7, there's no interest. So even they do grow up, then there's no deep relationship with the parents, there's no deep relationship on the social. They could create their own society. Especially modern education, where everybody's educated with people exactly the same age as them. You know, same age, same area, same everything. So then the problem comes is that they only know, they themselves create their own, because there's a parents, is there that, the parents move in a society where everybody's the same age? Right? No. So therefore, the only place you see that's at school. So what does that mean? That means basically for 20 years, you create your own social system. And then when you get out and people of your age then are running things, then whatever you guys work out, that's what happens. Does that make sense? So, where is the interaction with the parents? That's why you get a generational difference. But in the Vedic system, there is no generational difference. Because the family's there. The interaction is there. You're working with all these different generations all the time. So, where's the generational gap? You understand? But it's not taken advantage, so therefore it's thought, oh no, but you know, later, you know, as they grow up and we can relate to them, oh, that's when we have to have them. But no, that's the time when they have to get trained. Then, when they're adults, then you can really relate to them. Right. Yes. Because then they don't have to go to bed at 9 o'clock. They can stay up and watch the movie with you till 12. Yes.
We're born into ashram, not into varna.
Yes.
But in the varna-oriented society, it's very difficult if we basically don't know what ashram is.
Yes, yes.
So then, for the devotees, when we meet, and then we have this switch is very painful.
Yes.
We can relate to ashram.
Yes. No, the whole point is it's difficult when does one's best, and that's all that's there. That's why Prahlad says, even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. But the point is one sincerely trying, even though it's difficult, one may not be developing that much. Right? But that's sincere, that's value. Because then that person's trying, then their children will be more easy, then their children will be easier. It just gets easier as it goes. But if we give that up and just think, oh, this is too difficult, let me just be however I was, and then try to say that that's just as good, that then is... That's a waste of everybody's time. You know, because then we're trying to say that chewing the chewed is, you know, that's good. People, you know, you get something out of it, you know. hey, they're young, let them enjoy. So, yeah, you can, but then when you get old, then you'll have problems. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, if you've gone out when you're young, you go out, let's say, in the holy places, Raj and these other places, or into the villages, and you go door to door begging. You get so much. We used to, on the boat, go out, we'd do the Harinam, go out door to door. And we would have so much stuff, we could do festivals for the people. And we would send sacks of rice home to Mayapur. Now and again, we would have to take one of the boys on the boat and put him on one of those, three-wheel... I don't know, you see them anymore, the tempos?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those things. And, load that up and send it back to Mayapur, because it would just be too heavy for the boat, So that's the whole... So if you grow up like that, you see that wherever you go, there's not a problem for food. How much do you need? Like that. Then you have no problem. But I've heard so many times from the first generation devotees talk about, who's going to take care of my old, who's going to this and that, what's that, and they're really worried about it, when it's actually, what's to worry about? So that's the whole thing, is that it can go. That's the advantage of the brahmachari training. That's what's missing. So it's actually in the mind that there's nothing there, and that is so difficult and all that. But even it is there, and one goes through it, and it is difficult, fine. But one should hope that the next generation doesn't have to go through that. Just like the man was, some of these big magnates and stuff like that, that when they're 12 or 6 years old, then, the father dies, they have to take over the things in the family. So they're out working from that age and do that, and then they work out, a whole business empire and stuff like that. So does their son have to go through that? No. So we went through his first generation. We should try as best as possible. The second generation doesn't have to do that. And nowadays, first generation makes an idea. Oh no, this is good character building and stuff like that. Toss the kid out on the street. Like that, he has to do, work it out himself and everything himself. And you don't take care and like that. That'll make him tough. It's like there's a boy named Sue. Yeah. So it's just nice. But at the same time, it's natural that the parents would try to make it easier for the child. We don't mean easier in sense gratification. Just means easier in accepting the Krishna conscious culture. So it's understood the first generation is going to have difficulty. But it shouldn't make a philosophy that their difficulty is actually the process. Or giving up that difficulty is actually even better than that is a process. And so the second generation doesn't have to worry about it. Because Krishna consciousness is the second generation's culture. Whether they want to follow it nicely or not, that's another thing. But they all relate to each other. Right? Does that make sense? Second generation, but anywhere in the world, they meet each other. They all just get together. First generation, they kind of seek out their own group. Like that. So that's the thing, the culture is there. So third generation will be even more. So we should never overrate, the modern culture and try to put it on par with, the Krishna conscious culture. That's a great disservice to themselves as an individual and to anyone else. So that's what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. They don't want to accept Prahlad Maharaj. Hey, that's their business. But then if you don't accept Prahlad Maharaj, then don't talk. Like that, Because otherwise, they say, global warming is in a critical condition, and the less people that are spouting hot air, the better. Like that.
Therefore, starting to send the people over that very cool.
Yes, so then they can talk all they like, and it doesn't have an effect, yeah. Yes. Okay. Prahlad Maharaj continued. The human form of life affords one a chance to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, every living entity, especially in the human form of life, must engage in devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This devotional service is natural because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, the master of the soul and the well-wishing of all other living entities. I skipped one. I was in the middle of that. Oh, no, it's already stated. Indeed, he is. I need an as. As confirmed, okay. Yes, and so then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates here, and yes, and this is the. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2:40, Swalpamap Yasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayata. Even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Modern civilization, not referring to the verdicts of Vedic literature, is so cruel to the members of the human society that instead of teaching children to become brahmacharis, it teaches mothers to kill their children, even in the womb, on the plea of curbing the increase of population. And if by chance a child is saved, he is educated only for sense gratification. Gradually, throughout the entire world, human society is losing interest in the perfection of life. Indeed, men are living like cats and dogs, spoiling the duration of the human lives by actually preparing to transmigrate again to the degraded species among the 8,400,000 forms of life. The Krishna consciousness movement is anxious to serve human society by teaching people to perform devotional service, which can save a human being from being degraded again to animal life. As already stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Bhagavat Dharma consists of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Shakyam, Atmanivedanam. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23. In all the schools, colleges, and universities, and at home, all children and youth should be taught to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, they should be taught to hear the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, to put them into practice in their lives, and thus to become strong in devotional service, free from fear of being degraded to animal life. Sorry?
Give the instructions, put them into practice, and thus become strong in devotional service.
Ah, yes. Yes, yes, that last sentence. Yes, because that's the conclusion of that whole thing. Yes.
I'm thinking that Srila Prabhupada, in previous and this chapter, he stresses education.
Yes.
And then we see that, you know, because it's going really big, you know, 50 years.
Yes.
But in that area, we're not very much developed. And especially when you mention that there is a general education and specific after gen, which is a natural progression.
Yes.
So then specific, it's not there.
No. Almost. That's why it said if you have that spiritual education, the others will come. Because to be able to perform, to be able to value education, then that means you have to value Brahminical culture. So that means the culture itself in ashram has to be valued. Then the Brahminical aspect is an ashram will be valued. Because what we see is that as social issues come and go within our society, you know, there's been a time cows have gotten a thing, it comes and goes, women get it, children get it, like that. Just a couple of years ago, they, you know, started putting up the old things about the old people, like that. You know, probably the people putting them up are all now, you know, old also. So, it's, you know, it's becoming, you know, when you're 20, who cares about the old guys? But, you know, when you're 60, then you start, oh, wait a minute here. You know, so then, so that, but have we ever heard about protecting the Brahmins? Has there ever been one word of it or anything come up?
I guess that because you mentioned it so many times, I guess because everybody is on Brahminical level somehow or other, so nobody really cares.
Yeah, nobody cares, but at the same time, are they trying to protect it in its natural form? Are they comfortable to kind of let it slide into whatever kind of works because no one wants to take a stand on anything? You understand? So it's not a complete package. So Prabhupada was expecting by 1975 the devotees would have studied and come to the platform of Bhaktivedanta. He was saying that in the 60s. You know, so he was introducing it. So the only one that actually took it up was Satsarupa Maharaj, and he taught Bhakti Shastri, but nothing ever happened after that. So then that's the difficulty, is that it's not valued, because now it's thought if you manage things, then everything would be nice. The Prabhupada's point is, no, if you educate, then everything will be nice. Because if you're educated, then you'll behave properly. And if you behave properly, then management and money and all that will, and skills will happen automatically. Right? If there's a leadership who is trying to get everybody engaged in Krishna consciousness, showing them how to be Krishna conscious in all aspects of their life, you know, in their various services and that, they're trying to make them Krishna conscious. Now, in that environment, will people who know administration and management come forward? Will people who know how to make money come forward? Will people who have skills come forward? Yes. But if on the top they're trying to micromanage everybody and they themselves can't actually manage, then will a real manager step forward? Will someone who can make money step forward? No. And this guy with skills might step forward out of sentiment, but after one time he'll step back. So that's the whole point, is if you put education as the top, and that's the priority, then you'll see everything will work. But when we call together all the leaders of the society, you know, it's like we had, what was it? You know, 1,000 devotees, presidents, and leaders from the society. They're only talking about management and management structure. They're not talking about education. So how will that work?
This is the question.
Yes. Oh, I see. So, yes. So, it just has to be talked about. You know? It just has to be, as Bhavananda would say, put it out into the ether. You know, you keep putting it out and then it starts to stick somewhere. So, Prabhupada wanted it, we'd have to look at it and see it. That's the thing. So, if in our discussions, in our dealing with others, then we try to influence this way, the importance of studying and teaching and all these kind of things, learning the lifestyle, then it will gradually come to pass, you know. And if the first generation really just isn't interested, then focus on the second, because otherwise, then, you know, so those who are interested, you know, attend to them. Those who aren't, just don't worry, because you can't do anything anyway.
Just one.
Just
one.
Yeah. Because just worrying, that's a shooter mentality. You know, so what can you do? But that's where Prabhupada constantly talks about this. He's always talking about this. But somehow or another we don't catch it. You know, as soon as you bring up Varnashram, oh, well, you know, when Ramananda Roy brought it up, Lord Chaitanya threw it out. That's the first point. So therefore, I don't have to worry about it. But as the ultimate goal, he threw it out. But as a process, as you know, a secondary element, you know, the social, that Lord Chaitanya never threw out. But, you know, what to do?
I think it's also connected to the madhvas, because for them it is a process, the varnashram. This is how they...
Yes, it is a process. But at least we should accept it like that. Prabhupada talks about it, so we should accept it in one way or the other. You know, instead of working out, you know, using our intelligence to work out ways that we don't have to follow it. But Prabhupada says the only way to establish it is establish Brahmins. You establish a class of Brahmins. Brahmins, then they can teach. That you can then train Kshatriyas. See, the problem is they're trying to make managers teach managers. It will never happen. Brahmins can create managers. Then managers can create the rest of the society. So if they think that from management alone they'll create it, that's a total illusion. Because if it would work, then why not in 20 years don't we have something? You know what I'm saying? 20 years means a failure.
Even materialists would accept.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they would be. Because the point is, it should be dynamic. Because I've seen those who are, you know, trained by Prabhupada and that, they would go into a place that's falling apart, and within a very short time it's turned around, it's all happening. It's a dynamic place. But we're not willing to do that. We're thinking, no, we have to use modern methods. You know? Like that, you know, it was something else, and it was Cubby, and then there's something in between, I don't remember what. Then, you know, now they're talking systems, you know, strategic management's been trying to make its mark for the last 20 years, you know, so, you know, it's just like, it's a circus. Because the point is if they don't understand the actual theory that these things are based on, you know, how to apply Krishna consciousness in your life, they will not be able to manage in a Krishna conscious way. Because even you learn skills, if you're going to learn from that side, you're learning the skills, does the individual have the karma? That's the point. If you're based on devotional service, then a lame man can cross the mountains. Blind man can see stars in the sky. But if you're basing it on modern things by modern methods, then you don't have the karma. That's it. You're not going to do any better. You know, the person is there. He may have people working under him, but how many peers does he have? You know what I'm saying? You go into the Marwari community. The guy's got 10,000 people working in his factory. How many peers does he have? Thousands, tens of thousands. You know what I'm saying? But our own devotees, who their business and all that, how many peers do they have? None.
It's only vertical?
That's it. So therefore, how can they create peers? That's why it can't be established. Because they don't have the capacity. But if you work on the spiritual, that then everybody could be trained in. See, that's the point. Every living entity has the potential for that spiritual training. Therefore, in that way, everybody could be a leader of the society. But if you want to say that management's the leader of the society, then the first thing is to do is identify who actually can manage. Then they should be made the leaders of society. Not take people who can't manage and then try to make them into managers. Because if you could do it, they would have done it 20 years ago. So that's the, you know, the, how you say, you know, some element of brutal facts. But the point is the Shastras already describe all this, so it's not like it's new. And the most important thing is the Krishna conscious aspect. If that's there, then everything else will work. And if we value that the most, we keep it. You know, so it's like you said, you have the temple president. Nice temple president. Everybody's inspired. Everybody's doing service, but he's weak on you know, the money and managing the money. So then the temple becomes in debt. So then what do? Remove him as the temple president. Bring in somebody who's good with money. They get the bills paid for, but in the meantime, the whole temple, all the spiritual enthusiasm is gone. Many people move away, go away, this and that, and it'll be thought, oh, we did a good job. They did a terrible job. Because the bills have to be paid, but why not then bring in somebody who can make money that works under that president? But that will never come across as an idea. Because it's thought the manager is the top, not the sadhu is the top. You know? But, you know, we have, what, 600 temples like that? How many temples and little ashrams in India? Right? Hundreds of thousands. And all of them work by, there's a sadhu on top with a manager underneath. Every last one of them. And many of them have been around for 10, 20, 30, 100, 200, 500, 1,000 years. And they're working fine. So we can say as, oh, these systems don't work, but it works perfectly fine. So this is the whole point, is that this is where our purva samskar actually gets in the way of understanding the directions of the acharya. So that's sad. So it would be that we took it, the education is, and education means in Krishna consciousness, then it would take on a whole different thing. You know, instead of fighting over who's giving the Bhagavatam class, Why isn't a discussion about what's the content in the Bhagavad Gita class? You know, how to make the Bhagavatam class attractive, or this or that. You know, or not. In the book.
Modifying human activities. And then, like, modifying human activities. Devotional service is modifying human activities.
Yes.
And then, we're not even human. The extreme is too vast. People are having animalistic lifestyle, and they're jumping into transcendence, the brahminical lifestyle, they're all enthusiastic, and then they're bewildered, tempted by past inclinations, and then because the valleys are not as deep, and then they're just kind of like...
Yes, but the point is devotional service is the only way to correct that, not by changing from Vedic morality into modern morality, or Vedic systems of relationships into modern. You understand? The point is it may not be working right, but it's the only thing that works, so you keep at it. You know, it's just like you have some of the examples of businessmen. They start off the business, it fails, they start another one, it fails, they start another one, by the fifth time then it works, right? And the reason we're hearing about the story is because they're a very big businessman, right? So the point is, why did that happen? Because they have faith that by the process of business you can make money. So because of that, they kept at it from different angles until they got it to work. So if you have faith that the process of devotional service, the brahminical culture, is the what to use, even if it fails, you don't give up on it. Right? So devotees try really just to do it as Prabhupada gave it till about 81, 82, and then they go, oh, we can't do this. And then they try to create their own. And creating their own, I have yet to see where it has any advantage. You know, I mean, if somebody can point it out, great. But the communities that are working are by those who follow what Prabhupada gave. And those that make up their own, they don't have communities.
No,
but that's there. But we're trying to get to the point. In other words, it's like this. I make a point to point the thing out. Now, if you, in thinking about it, then you come up with more things that therefore give support to that, and then convince yourself that's good. You do that. But that doesn't necessarily have to be shared. If you can take that and show how it applies, that's the part you share. Like that. You know, it's like if I say, you know, dogs are big, dogs are small, and you go, yeah, but they're also long, and they're also short, and they're also very tall. Some of them have hair, some of them don't. We don't need that. Like that. So that's what you have to... So that by the discussion that the brain starts to work, that's very good. So you want the brain to work. But then it should keep going on how will I apply that? And then from that thinking, then you get something. That's what you bring up. Because then it furthers the discussion. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
I was just going to say, because I've been having this conversation with people for a while now and trying to work out, what is the problem. And I was wondering if it's because, devotees don't value education and they see, maybe they don't know what... They don't see any tangible things that... what do brahmanas actually do? Who are they? You know, they see the pujaris being taken care of, so they're brahmanas, so it's okay. Maybe they think that it's already... so they are taken care of or whatever. I'm just trying to understand why.
Okay, and then when the devotee wants to go to an astrologer, then they're going to another devotee. And then when they need some Ayurvedic treatment, they're going and finding devotees.
I think so.
Yeah? All the Ayurvedic doctors are devotees. Yeah, you understand. So then the problem comes up is maybe the pujaris are, but then generally it's only very few.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to understand like my idea was that maybe the devotees don't know.
The point is they don't know, because if you grow up in a system where the government takes care of education, it's just something you go to, it's no concern of the common person how education works.
Yeah.
You understand? What the curriculum is, how it's managed, who's there, what's going on, nothing. So therefore, then nobody thinks it's important, which is fine. But since Prabhupada talks about it, that's Prabhu's question, is why don't devotees take that seriously? Why don't they try to establish it?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Yeah. But we see as it's in this Gurukul tradition, means you have the teacher, you have the students and all that. But if we do try to implement something, then generally they try to do it like the centralized government education.
Yeah.
So then, but that's not what Prabhupada talks about. So the point is stick to what Prabhupada talks about and try to find it. Because it's not that it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you have to be able to look for it.
Yeah. So a good place for us to start to implement, in order to implement this, is to try to contribute towards Gurukul education where we can, like if we have that.
Yes, that, or in some way just educate people in Krishna consciousness. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Because Gurukul specifically means for the children.
Yeah.
But the point is that adults also need to be trained.
Yeah.
Is that... Yeah.
Just this... It appears to be that the problem also was the time, because there's almost never a time for adult education. I mean, for children it is there,
yeah.
But for adults it's very difficult to find that time.
Yeah.
Even a short, you know, course in Bhakti Shastri or whatever,
yeah, yeah.
They try to really...
Yeah.
I mean, one advertisement was a few years back, it was Bhakti Shastri for busy devotees. And I think everybody falls into that category, because
yeah,
I was there.
Yeah.
I'm busy.
Yeah, yeah, of course. We're all busy.
So the time factor is very...
Yeah, but then the point is work on that. If we take that and it's valued, then we'd be discussing how to do that. You know, how to implement, how to make all our centers into educational centers. You know, how to make something. Because the point is, you know, but we generally tend to, it's on the government level. It's got this one common curriculum for everything and this and that. And who works it out? Some little group of devotees. People. It's not necessarily that they're the main people. They might be sometimes, but that's very rare. You know, like this one, it's not used now, but it's, you know, a group of ladies, I think in Chicago, worked out this very kind of dynamic phonetic system like that. But that was back, I think, in the 70s or 80s or like that. And, you know, so there's different times that people sit around and do something like that. But then, if you look at it traditionally, so much is already there from the past. You know. So, the Vedic system of how you teach, how you do, it's already there. But we have our own idea how it should be. You know, it's just like in the Vedic system, the children learn mantras because they can memorize no problem. The younger they are, the easier it is. And they don't even care to know what it means. And then, you know, once they memorize, then you teach them what it means. Like that, I remember we had this one kid, he was sitting in the mantra class, and he would be half asleep and half bored, right? But by the and we go through repeating it 10 days, one word like that. Then after 10 days, then we would repeat all 10 verses together 10 times. So he would look like he's totally falling asleep, not paying attention, this and that. But when it came to the 10, you know, all 10 verses, 10 times, you know, everybody together, he knew everything. So, you know, like that. So that's the thing, is the kids, it just, I don't know what, it just, you know, falls into their head and sticks there, I don't know. But I would have adults there, and they go, this one word at a time, this is so boring. So then they think, well, I'll come back when it gets more interesting. But when you come back to the 10 things, there's no way that they can keep up like that. It's like, in all the years, I never had an adult that could handle the course. But that's the system, how they can teach thousands of mantras to the kids. So it's a perfect system. Adults only know how to cram. You know, and then cramming it, how long do you remember it? You know, so that's the whole thing, is that you take the verses that, okay, you learn for Bhakti Shastri, whatever it is, the 30 or 50 verses that you're mandatory to learn. If we took anybody who was a graduate of that now, pulled them to the side and gave them the test on that, there's a good chance most all of them would fail. And not even just, you know, mildly, like terribly. But verses that the kids have learned like that, you can pull them aside 10 years later and they can recite the verses. So that's why we don't bother with teaching verses to adults. But I have yet to find a modern educator within our society that can understand this. They just don't have the cultural ability to understand this. They think that the memorization of the verses is the total course. And then the other 3 months, they kind of pack things around it. Well, for us, it's about understanding what's the purpose, what's the essence, what's actually going on. You know, and that just comes by, you know, going through, discussing it, dealing with, you know, everybody's doubts, the repetition of it, and stuff like that. So it's just not understood. Because they're so used to, so conditioned by, and so attached to the modern government education. And the modern government education they went through basically is not actually that good compared to other education on the planet. You know? Like, I just heard, I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, in Finland, the teachers that teach grade school, you know, the little kids, they're the highest paid of all the teachers that are there. They get more than the university, than the high school and that. Because the point is if they get the knowledge, then they'll do better as they go through. Then it's easier for everybody else. But guaranteed that the countries where these devotees are don't understand what I'm talking about in the education, the countries that they come from, the grade school teachers are the least paid. So what can you do? Is that even that they're trying to be up to date, they're so far behind the curve on up to date that even materially it's not even viable. So that's the problem, is what you were talking about in the beginning, is the conditioning is so strong. That's why we constantly are talking about the Vedic culture. But nowadays, devotees like to talk about how we have this conditioning, I am this conditioning, so that's fine. So the idea that I have to make adjustments, that I have to broaden my vision, I have to do these things, no, don't worry, why should we scare people? No, it's not natural for them, it's all that. Yes, being animals is okay, you could say in the conditioned state is natural, but aren't we trying to make humans?
But here it's written that to be Krishna conscious devotee, it is natural action.
Yes, that's the real natural. So that's the whole point. When you use these natural systems, they'll say, oh, those aren't practical. But the point is they work better than anything else. Like that. Some of you were there the last Sunday when we were talking with one of the boys from the school. He was asking about the philosophy course and all that. So we went through, like, in 5 minutes, different things on... He's writing some curriculum on the course for the younger kids. But we went through stuff that we were doing in this assembly. It would probably take us an hour to go through. You know, if not more. And they, you know... And he's been teaching this for the last so many years. So it's not that, you know, it's just starting now. So that's the whole thing. You follow the system, it works. That's the whole thing. But it's just, you have to actually know what you're looking for. Like, if you've never grown up in an environment of culture, you can't see culture when it's there. You won't appreciate it. So that's the problem. But Prabhupada's always talking about it, so at least we should be open to the idea. And then those who do know, then learn from them. But otherwise, then we...
The best way to cultivate an appreciation of something you wouldn't recognize if it was sitting in front of you?
By association. That's the thing. Is by associating, then you start to pick up. Because otherwise, what did we know about spiritual life until we came in contact with Prabhupada? It means everybody has their own idea what spiritual is, you know, going out into nature and it's quiet and you're not worried about all the city life and just sitting there and not doing something, and that's real spiritual, you know. I remember it was thing is that did a thing in high school, I don't know if they still do it, Outward Bound. Have you ever heard of that? It was a thing where they just take kids, you know, last year high school, they take them out into the woods for I think 10 days or 2 weeks or something like that. And it's not like a Boy Scout kind of thing. It's actually, they just go out there and live off the land and do stuff like that and do stuff they would never do. Get up early in the morning, get up, go run, take bath in the cold rivers and, you know, climb mountains. Do all this far out stuff that just, you know, high school kids just know how to, you know, ride their bicycle and hang out and try to get, you know, the girls to look at them, and that's about it, you know. So for these kids, it was like such an opening of their, wow, this is that, you know, whole new view on life and things and this and that. So anything that's kind of can create a slightly little bit of difference, then it'll be thought this is spiritual, you know. So some were interested in that, were going for things, a lot were not doing stuff. And so, but it's not until you come across Prabhupada and its movement that then we find out what is actual spiritual, and then by that we adjust. So all it is that take these points. If Prabhupada and practically every purport, every other purport is talking about Varnashram and Brahminical culture, you'd think that we would think, okay, well, maybe he's trying to make a point here, you know. You know, and then look into it. Like that, you know. So, yes?
Is there a way to get out of the non-devotional verses that one guy is a child?
How does you get out of the head of, oh, non-devotional verse. How do you get non-devotional verses that are in your head from childhood? How to remove them from?
You can't.
Huh? She says, you can't.
Stay away from Udipanas.
Huh?
Stay away from.
Yeah,
this
something
to remind.
Yeah,
otherwise
something.
Otherwise, it pops out.
Yeah, it pops out. The other thing is you can always try. Since generally they're in poetic verse, try putting Hare Krishna to it and see if that works. I know that works for music and stuff like that.
But the hidden meaning names.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. But the things that you learn as a kid, because generally it's like when you get older, you forget what's happening now, but you can still remember things as a kid. Like that. Yeah. Yeah, you know, figure out the hidden meaning and use it in Krishna's service. Yes.
Seeing the best approach is to replace it with something higher rather than trying to remove what's already there. If we fill up with the new, then there's no room for it.
Oh, okay, like that. Okay. I thought you were going to replace it, because I was going to say, how do you replace 30 days, half September, April, June, and no wonder? All the rest have peanut brittle, except grandmother. She rides a bicycle. What's going to be higher than that? Yes, but then you have to analyze and see what's the Krishna bit.
Or is it?
Something. Okay, this devotional service is natural because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, the master of the soul and the well-wisher of all living entities. Okay, footnote 26. In his Bhakti Sandarbha Anucheda 55, paragraph 4, Srila Jiva Goswami refers to verses 1 and 2 when he writes, these verses say, Here in this human birth, one should engage in devotional service. Because in a birth among the demigods, there's an abundance of sense gratification. And because in a birth as an animal, there's no power of discrimination. One should not waste his time when he has attained a human birth. Therefore, he says, quote, from the beginning of childhood, one should engage in devotional service. This is so because this human birth is temporary and rarely achieved. The Vedic scriptures say that the human birth is the most valuable because in it one can engage in the activities of devotional service. One should understand the human birth in that way. So that's very special because as an animal birth, then you have no discrimination. They can't. The only thing they can discriminate is eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But other than that, they can't. And then as the demigods or the higher living entities, because you, right, we're and Bharat Varsha, Bharata Khanda, right? So Bharata Varsha is one of nine dweeps, and then on that dweep, it is one. Oh no, excuse me, seven dweeps. No.
Jambu dweep is one of seven.
Seven, yeah. So there's seven dweeps. Then on Jambu dweep, it has nine varshas, and one of those varshas is Bharat Varsha, and on Bharat Varsha, Bharata Khanda is 1/9. So when we talk about human life, we mean there. Because everything else in the universe is then going to be subjected to sense gratification. The demigods are looking for it in a more pious way, you know, the mode of goodness, while the demons are looking for it in the mode of passion. Right? So we can see is that therefore this birth is quite rare. And animals then, they fill the whole universe, so... So it's actually not that, you know, we got 7 billion here. That's it in the universe. All the others outside of that then have a higher position where they have more sense gratification. So it's actually quite rare. So that's Prahlad Maharshi's point. Since one has it, take advantage of it. Because as a demigod, you get distracted by sense gratification. And as an animal, you can't tell what's what anyway. So, yes?
Actually, you were talking before about chewing the chew, and it's like, all the living entities, especially on Earth, are going to continue doing that unless they purify that in devotional service until they
yes.
come across it.
Yes, yes.
They've continued chewing the chew.
That's all anybody in the universe is doing.
Yeah.
You know, so even Lord Brahma's there, but there's been unlimited Lord Brahmas before him that have done exactly the same thing. So what's the new thing? But he thinks, oh, this is new, this is special. But, you know, there's been a, you know, and that's before, if you take that, then you go out laterally, there's unlimited Lord Brahmas that way. So there's unlimited, you know, laterally, and there's unlimited, you know, what do you call it?
Horizontal.
It's like what's not chewed. And that's one Brahma. Then you take all the, you know, everything else in the universe. You know, so there's a ridiculous amount of...
Only hope for anyone is devotional.
That's it. Devotional service is the only way to break out of this. Because as I pointed out, mode of goodness can't actually break you out of this.
You just
move up. That's what samsara means. You move up to the top, and once you get to the top, then the only way to go is down. You know, once you get to the bottom, then the only way is to go up. So that's what you do. Srila Prabhupada comments, simply by understanding these three facts, referring to Bhagavad Gita 5:29, that the Supreme Lord Vishnu is the proprietor of the entire creation, that he is the best, well-wishing friend of all living entities, and that he is the supreme enjoyer of everything, one becomes peaceful and happy. For this transcendental happiness, the living entity has wandered throughout the universe in different forms of life and different planetary systems. But because he has forgotten his intimate relationship with Vishnu, he has merely suffered life after life. Therefore, the educational system in the human form of life should be so perfect that one will understand his intimate relationship with God or Vishnu. In any form of life, we are related with Vishnu, who is the most beloved, the Supersoul, Son, Friend, and Guru. Our eternal relationship with God can be revived in the human form of life, and that should be the goal of education. Indeed, that is the perfection of life and the perfection of education, because the point is this is something everybody can absorb. Like that, everybody can learn Krishna consciousness, especially when they're younger, they don't have other ideas and all that. But the point is technical skills that they can use for an occupation, that is based upon your conditioning. You have an ability to learn more, you'll learn more. And if you don't, you can't. So that's the whole point is to judge. is the character developing? Is the Krishna consciousness? Is the culture developing? Or is the work ethic? Is the cleanliness? All these things. Is that developing all the fundamentals of human life? Then you can say the education is working. Then according to their ability, they will learn other things. Their language and math and all these other things. But if not, then the point is we focus on that as the judge, which is the modern educational thing. Then the point is we miss the whole point of what human education is for. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My dear friends born of demoniac families, the happiness perceived with reference to the sense objects by contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life, according to one's past fruit of activities. Such happiness is automatically attained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress." Right? So, human form of life, we can do devotional service, but any form of life, you can get sense gratification. Right? And but it'll be based on whatever you've done before, so how much you deserve. And it will come anyway. Whether you work for it or not, you'll get it. Right? You know, just as we don't work for it, we get distress, and then we don't work for it, we get happiness. Yeah? Does that make sense? So one can say, well, then why are we working at all? We're working for our future. Right? You want future benefit, you work today. But whatever you're getting today came from past. Because otherwise, everybody's doing the same work. Why is it there's so many different levels of enjoyment? Because it's coming from past. But depending on what work they do now, that will determine what happens in the future. So, yeah. Footnote 27. Lord Rishabhdev similarly instructed his sons, "My dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service." Right? So dogs and hogs that eat stool, where do they live? On the street. That means no one's taking care of them, or minimally taking care of them. And they're enjoying. Like that. So that's the whole point, is that should not be the endeavor. Like that. You just perform your duties, what naturally comes from that, then be happy with that. But the focus should be on Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if we continue in that logic, the doubt may arise. We don't want to enjoy like them. We want to enjoy better. So we have to take care.
Okay. Have you ever seen pigs sleep? Like at night?
No.
The day, then you have one pig. But have you ever seen them? One pig, oh yeah, lay down like that, and then on top of that, the next level of like this. So, where are you going to find a tighter community than pigs? So what quality does people get? You know, and it's just like this. Pigs can find their food. It's not that it's a lower standard of food for them. It is their food. They can find it anywhere. You know? For us, we have really hard time finding our food. So that's the... And Maya's so clever. The more we work at it, the less it's available. You know? Like that. So, the point is we're doing our duties, but our consciousness is not on sense gratification. Our consciousness is on Krishna consciousness. Then, from doing those duties, whatever sense gratification would come naturally, that's what we're going to get anyway. If we think about the sense gratification, we don't get more. That's, you know, it's just like you're sitting there, and you have an appointment, and you have 20 minutes to wait. Now, if you think about it and be in anxiety and all, does the time go any quicker? Right? It tends to go even slower. Yeah, so that's the whole point is, as we get an anxiety about sense gratification, even when we get sense gratification, it's not sense gratification. Because in our mind, by speculation, we've come up with something. Like I remember once, we went to go eat something. And this one person had been thinking all day about, you know, we'll go there, we'll get this, but then when we got there, then that wasn't available. So all of us just ordered something else, and we were eating, we were happy, and that person was totally in distress. They didn't eat. They just sat there and were just frustrated and angry. And so that's the whole point. They thought about the sense gratification like that, and so when it came, they couldn't get it. Well, we weren't thinking about it, and whatever came, then we were happy. So it was just something else, you know. They wanted chapatis. We ended up with rice or something. But they had really been dreaming about chapatis all day, so it didn't happen for them. And so that was, you know. So that's the whole point. Is what he's saying is that you don't focus on sense gratification. You focus on performing your duties in Krishna consciousness. Sense gratification will come on its own, just as distress comes on its own. You don't have to worry separately. Right? But the materialist thinks, unless I think about sense gratification, I won't get any. But it has nothing to do with you think about it, you get it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Are we on for this transcendental happiness? Oh, no.
Reading the
footnote. Footnote. Yeah, that's where we got, 27. Oh, okay, that's where we're on. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service, right? Because people go through penance and austerity for sense gratification. But it should be done for devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. Srimad Bhagavatam 551. Okay, so continue with Prahlad Maharaj. Endeavors merely for sense gratification or material happiness through economic development are not to be performed, for they result only in a loss of time and energy with no actual profit. If one's endeavors are directed towards Krishna consciousness, one may surely attain the spiritual platform of self-realization. There's no such benefit from engaging oneself in economic development. But you engage in economic development, you don't get Krishna consciousness. But if you engage in your duties that may include economic development, but your focus is on Krishna consciousness, you become Krishna conscious. And whatever economic development will come, will come. That would be there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments. We see materialistic persons busily engaged in economic development all day and all night, trying to increase their material opulence. But even if we suppose that they get some benefit from such endeavors, that does not solve the real problem of their lives, nor do they know what the real problem of life is. This is due to a lack of spiritual education. Especially in the present age, every man is in the darkness, in the bodily conception of life, not knowing anything of the spirit soul and its needs. Misguided by the blind leaders of society, people consider the body to be everything, and they are engaged in trying to keep the body materially comfortable. Such a civilization is condemned because it does not lead humanity towards the real goal of life. So even you solve the material problems by the material endeavor, but you don't solve the actual problem, is the dissatisfaction the living entity has from not being satisfied from the material. So that doesn't address it. So that's why in the performance of one's duties, the focus should be on Krishna consciousness. Then one actually deals with the real problem. And then whatever will come, that will come. Right? This is the problem is that because of the mode of passion, we think unless I work, I won't get. It's not thought because I'm supposed to do this, that's why I'm getting it. It's still because I want it, I go out, therefore I get it. So because of that passion, then this sounds like, oh, but then they do nothing. Whoever said they're doing nothing? The businessman, his business is to do business, so therefore he does business, he gets money. But the point is, the man does 8 hours of business a day, but let's say all businessmen in the world are doing 8 hours a day. Somebody's making just enough to get by, and the others are making billions in the same 8 hours. You know, you can say, no, but those guys put in more. How much more can they put in? Right? Okay, you put in, you say, you're putting in your 8 hours, you're getting 100,000. Okay, but let's say then the guys are doing 1 billion. So then you multiply that, there's not that many hours in a day.
Maximum they can do 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah, maximum they can do 3 times, but they generally also sleep and stuff like that and other things. So maximum I've heard of is like the Germans will work 16 hours a day. You know, if you don't have two jobs.
Japanese.
If you're not doing that, there's something wrong with you. But that's still double. So that means then, according to that logic, they should get 100,000. Right? Or it should be, if you worked 16 hours, then you get 1 billion. But it doesn't happen. So that's the whole point, is you'll only get what you're supposed to get. So instead of focusing on how you're going to enjoy, how you're going to get more, focus on how to do your duties nicely and be Krishna conscious. Then you actually solve the problem of human life and you fulfill whatever is going to be fulfilled anyway. Because worrying about it doesn't make it better. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prem.